There were six guards, and Jack was watching all of them. From the roof of a three-story building, he could see their hiding places. They were stationed near the interstate, dotted behind buildings and clusters of trees. They shifted restlessly, waiting for a vehicle to appear on I-10. Since running vehicles were few and far between, they didn't concern themselves much with staying hidden during this downtime. The sound of a distant engine traveling east or west on the interstate would give them plenty of time to position themselves out of sight from a driver's vantage point. Then, if a driver stopped to siphon gas from one of the abandoned vehicles clustered in that area, the six guards would ambush them. And if the driver didn't stop, Jack suspected the men would start shooting at the passing vehicle, trying to kill or wound the driver. These guys were serious. They meant to steal every car that passed through the small city. But stealing cars was the least of their crimes. Jack knew that firsthand. Most of the men sat, yawning and trying to stay awake. A couple of them paced anxiously back and forth. They wiped the sweat from their brows, hot and red from the late morning Arizona sun. Must be hard work terrorizing an entire city, he thought to himself as he watched the men with disgust. Jack squinted through the scope of his rifle. He had spent most of the morning searching for ammo. He kept his search confined to the downtown area, where he knew the gang members wouldn't venture. Even hardened criminals had their limits. They didn't want to spend time in the city center, where a nuclear bomb had blown a huge swath of the city to smithereens. Miraculously, he had found some ammunition for his firearm in the manager's office of a Greasy Spoon diner. The restaurant had stood just beyond the blast radius, and it had survived the explosion. Jack was discovering all kinds of things people had kept behind closed doors, safe from the world to see. And now, that restaurant manager's foresight would mean that Jack could go back into the gang's territory. Back into hell, where they had kept Jack prisoner, handcuffed and chained to a bed for 2 nights as punishment for back-talking their leader. Well, not just punishment. They had intended to break Jack, both physically and mentally. That was how they had taken over this small city. They had broken people's wills, stripped them of any hope of ever escaping and returning to freedom. But they hadn't succeeded, not on Jack. Through luck and sheer will, he managed to escape that blood-soaked motel they had kept him in. But Naomi and Brent were still being held in those prisons. Jack had fought so hard to escape, and now he was going back in. But first, he had to get the gatekeepers out of the way. The sun rose higher. A few minutes later, two of the men rose to their feet. They said something to the other remaining men. Then the first two guards walked away, heading south toward the gang's headquarters. Just as Jack expected. 2 days before, when he, Naomi, and Brent had been ambushed on this very interstate, it had been around high noon. The men who captured them had taken the trio to their headquarters. There, Jack, Naomi, and Brent had been assessed, split up, and sent to separate detention centers. And who had been there at the headquarters, seated at a table and stuffing their faces with food cooked by their prisoners? The core 12 members of the gang, the ones who called the shots and were in charge of this operation. Below them were countless lower-ranked members. The trusted ones were armed guards. They were stationed at the entrance points to the gang's territory. They watched over the workers, the drones, the prisoners. They made sure the prisoners didn't revolt. The four men Jack now watched were the mid-level guys. Entrusted with weapons, loyal enough to run the carjacking operation, they were vetted members of the gang.